The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm calling my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
You know, it feels like a Thursday. It's perfect. I'm ready for to see a couple teams tonight to see if they're for real, because you never believe Jacksonville and Tennessee at all. Ready for more basketball playoffs, and I'm ready for a weekend. But I got more in me to work today and tomorrow. How about everybody else? We ready?
Thursday is the most productive day of the week, as we all know. Unlike Paul Calvisi talking about Tuesday.
I don't know, because most people day. No, because normally on Thursday you're already starting to peak. You know, it's supposed to be one day at a time, but you're already peaking.
You're peaking, and what that does to a lot of people, it motivates them. Because all of a sudden, oh my goodness, tomorrow's Friday. This is great, right? It lifts their mood. It lifts their spirit. It's kind of like what you just said right there.
Thursday,
man, I'm feeling good about this.
Because there are a couple times where I'll say, I got to do more today so I don't have to do it tomorrow.
Yeah. You are really good at that, are you not, Douglas? You are really good at just shutting it off on a Friday.
Oh, yeah. It's
right?
Over.
The show's over, and at 10:01, you're done.
Are you not the same? Listen, I'm not trying to tell anybody else what their life is like, but for us, we work 7 days. That's true. We work 7 days a week during the football season, and the SEC starts Saturday, too. So for me, once it's Friday at 9:56, that's my only day for either golf or to go out to dinner with my wife, or to have a beer on the patio with her, or to sit around and have game night, movie night with my kids. Friday is it.
Yeah.
So because of that, the world shuts down. There's been so many times in my life where somebody has seen me on a golf course or has seen me at a restaurant, and they want to talk sports with me on a Friday.
Yeah.
Hey, did you hear so-and-so tore his ACL at practice? No. I have no idea.
Yes.
What do you mean you don't know? Well, that's work. I don't know. I stopped working. I don't care right now in this. And it's, you would be shocked, even if you already think I'm a stupid man, how ignorant I am on Friday evening about anything that's happened in our world.
Yeah, you got to
turn
it off.
Because I check out.
You got to turn it off. There's no doubt about that. But I will say this right here. It's, and I've had a lot of experience with this, it's very similar to actually being 4-10 on the season, Basinonians. You're 4-10. Or maybe you're looking at it and you're 3-9, whatever it is. And there's December, and suddenly you know you got 3 games left. You got 2 games left. You can't even believe what it does to you as a professional athlete to say, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. It's called the end of the season. And for so many guys,
Diamondbacks have 4 games left.
Exactly, Douglas. For so many guys that experience tough years or bad years or all the losing out there, they could not wait. It would motivate them. Sometimes when you play a bad team in December, you're going to get their best. Mm-hmm. You're going to get their best because they are motivated. Hey, listen, let's play this game. Let's get this game out of the way. And then we only have 2 more games left. And then it's 1 more game left. And a lot of times that last week of the season, you'll get a bad team's best as well. And on other occasions, they'll check out. There's no doubt.
I don't know if this is true, but I totally stare down the first quarter of those games. Are you going to give that team any life at all, and now you got to deal with them all game?
Yes.
Or are you just going to punch them right in the face at the beginning and then have it be done? But it's funny to say that one of the great – probably – the greatest postseason comeback in baseball history was game 6 for the 86 Mets. There's already 2 outs in the bottom of the 9th inning against the Red Sox, and they're down by 2 runs. And the Red Sox are up 3-2. So, I mean, it's over. I mean, the season is over. They lost the World Series. Kevin Mitchell, according to legend, is on a payphone. Kids, if you don't know what that is, I'll explain later. He's on a payphone. He doesn't have his jock strap or his cup on anymore. He doesn't have his pants on, and he's standing there on a payphone in the clubhouse, and somebody yells, "You're up." He runs out on deck, and Gary Carter gets a base hit, and then he gets a base hit, totally mentally checked out. And that's when the famous ball goes through the legs of Bill Buckner, and Mookie Wilson gets the – well, he doesn't get an RBI because it was an error, but he gets the game-winning knock, and the Mets move on, and they win Game 7 as well. You talk about checking out. I mean, you know why he was on the phone? He was booking a flight for tomorrow to fly home.
Oh, my goodness. You've got to be kidding me.
And this is the greatest comeback of all time, and he was a part of it. Without his base hit, it doesn't happen.
Pants on the ground.
Pants on the ground.
Literally. Watch this thing, Bear.
And now, it's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five. You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories. Here's Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley.
Vince, how was your day, afternoon, and morning?
Number five.
I hit number four, so maybe I've already looked ahead. Number five this morning is the NBA playoffs and the fact that the Boston Celtics kind of did it again, dominated most of the game and could not hang on as Tyler Hero comes off the bench with 37 points, and Miami comes back for a 112-109 win. They need one more Eastern Conference Finals win to go to the NBA Finals.
The Miami Heat are my adopted team, brothers. This is my team.
I love
watching them.
I do, too.
Number four.
Number four this morning. The Arizona Diamondbacks suddenly have an offense at the end of the year. Seven runs two nights ago, seven runs yesterday afternoon. They come back in this one and defeat Texas 7-3. Bullpen, four innings, no runs, one hit. LeCastro, Kelly, Matheson, Escobar all go 2-for-4. And this makes sense in a non-DH year, but the craziest stat I've ever heard, for the first time in baseball history, a regular position player out of the nine hole hits his first two major league home runs.
How sweet is that?
Yeah, Wyatt Matheson goes yard twice out of the nine hole, and the Diamondbacks have an off day and a doubleheader on Friday.
Keep it going, Carson Kelly. Keep it going. Finish strong. Finish strong.
Number three.
Number three is the Lions and Cardinals play on Sunday, and Cole Kirk Phillips and D-Hop and Fitz all did not practice, and Byron Murphy is listed along with Byron Murphy as a shoulder injury, but was limited in practice. It's a pretty good injury list. I would like one thing. I'd like somebody at receiver to line up for practice. Fitz, Kirk, and D-Hop?
That's all right. We got Kyler.
I see.
Number two.
Number two this morning is today's Thursday. Now I realize you go, what? I already know that.
That's right.
Well, the Pac-12 is again, just like last week, scheduled to do something and vote on whether or not they're going to move up the target date and no longer play spring football, but play it in the fall. From everything I have been told, if you care about having somewhat of a little bit of some sources, is that the vote is 12-0 to move it up. The problem is they don't have any idea if they should move it up now before they have every county on board with it. They don't know what date they should move it up to, and there's a lot of disagreement in the room on how stringent the protocols should be.
What I love about the Pac-12 and Larry Scott is they're so decisive.
That was one of your best moments. Wolf's already checked out at 6:10.
Sarcasm sucks now. Buttermilk, by the way.
I've always hated sarcasm myself.
Number one.
And the number one thing you need to know about this morning is Kyler Murray already a top 10 player in the NFL. Does that sound that crazy of a topic? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Big fan of Thursdays. The Lowdown with Lorenzo Alexander's coming up at 6:45, where we spend two beautiful parts of the program just talking football with Zoe. One beautiful part of the program is all Cardinals, and then another one is NFL in general. And this is kind of the combination of both.
Hell no!
What is that?
Ryan Clark is one of my favorite ESPN personalities, right? Probably Ryan Clark and Lewis Riddick. I'm a big fan of those two. And Ryan Clark was having a conversation about how impressed he is with Kyler Murray. And a lot of people were talking about the success of Kyler Murray. And then the question was posed, and it went in a direction that, despite complimenting Kyler Murray, was way too much for Ryan Clark. And he was asked, is Kyler Murray a top 10 player in the NFL? So if you have to, if you're drafting a team, who are the 10 players you're going to take first? Or maybe I shouldn't put it like that, because that would mean you get one quarterback and you're done. If you're naming the 10 best players in the NFL, would one of them be Kyler Murray?
No. And guys, and hey, listen, I understand, man. We get all excited, and the door's been open for Kyler, right? We talk about his talent all the time. Cliff Kingsbury steps up and drafts him number one overall in the perfect system. But I want y'all to think about something. He comes into this year, and we're saying Kyler Murray is going to be in the MVP conversation. And through two games, we are all excited about what Kyler Murray has done, right? 516 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions, three touchdown runs, though, and a little bit over 100 yards.
Actually, it's more than that. It's 158 yards rushing that he has right now, right? He's the first ever quarterback to throw for over 500 yards and rush for over 150 yards through the first 2 weeks of the season. You know, I'm just saying right there, I'm not trying to slam Ryan Clark, because I'm with you on this. I really do like Ryan Clark as well. But Kyler Murray right now, through 2 weeks of the season, has really done some things, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you mean this, Wolf?
That nobody else.
Back in the Super Bowl era to hit 500 yards passing and 150 yards rushing by week two. His name is Kyler Murray.
Is that what you're talking about?
It's exactly what I'm talking about. That research and Doug. But honestly, Basinonians, I mean, that says something. And the Cardinals are 2-0. And when you start talking about, is he a top 10 player right now? No, he's not a top 10 player. Not from a career perspective. Not when you take the long view right now. But listen, through 18 games, the first 18 games of Kyler Murray's career, he's not doing bad, I'll tell you that much. Top 10, I'm not going to put him in the top 10 either. This guy is still making his way to becoming a franchise quarterback, a true franchise quarterback. He's on the fast track, and he's playing really, really well. But, yeah, I'm not going to say he's a top 10 player right now.
I'm with you. And just to run through, Aaron Donald, Pat Mahomes, Russell Wilson, DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, Chandler Jones, Michael Thomas, George Kittle, Stephon Gilmore, Christian McCaffrey, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry. I just listed 12 guys, and that was off the top of my head this morning at about 9:40, or excuse me, about 5:40. So I'm not ready myself to dump one of those names yet. I'm not ready to say, you know what, that guy's not really in there, so I can get Kyler Murray in there as of right now.
Let me talk to y'all about what 2018 was for the eventual MVP through two games. Patrick Mahomes, he had 10 touchdowns, 6 in one game, 4 in the other, and that trajectory carried him to 50 touchdowns and the MVP. Let's talk about Lamar Jackson last year, 8 touchdowns in the first two games, another touchdown rushing, over 100 yards rushing in one game. And so those are the stats that we're talking about when we're comparing Kyler Murray's second year, right, to the last two MVPs who won the MVP in their second year, and what those dudes look like through two games.
No doubt. And listen, this is one of the reasons why I'll continue to cite the San Francisco 49ers game, because I think it also matters who you play. The Washington game isn't going to impress anybody. But the fact that you went on the road and beat the 49ers in their stadium and played well and was the, if you watch the game, Kyler Murray was the primary reason why the Arizona Cardinals won that game. Man, it can just fill you with an awful lot of hope. And more than anything else, ladies and gentlemen, please understand this, and this is the best part about this, Kyler Murray could care less about this conversation. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what Ryan Clark says. It's not going to have any impact on him whatsoever. Kyler Murray, and I'm learning this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm learning this. It's taken me a while, but that's part of the process of getting to know a player, getting to know a guy, and one of the reasons why I'll take a wait-and-see approach, a prove-it approach, to him becoming a true franchise quarterback in every way, shape, and form.
But it's funny.
Kyler Murray does not care. He does not. He is internally motivated. He has an internal expectation that other guys just don't have.
As you were saying that, on Get Up, the ESPN morning show that Ryan Clark was on yesterday, they just showed him saying,
"Hell no."
Then, right after that,
minus the profanity,
they went to a stat that was kind of funny. Pre-2020. The most rushing yards by a quarterback in his first two games, three times is Michael Vick.
Wow.
Three times. Now, Kyler Murray is in second place on that list. One of the seasons of Michael Vick, he had 175 yards rushing in his first two games. So Kyler Murray did not pass that. But Michael Vick was in second and third on that list, and Kyler Murray did pass two of those.
Yes.
I think what's happened here, and I'm okay with it, when you see Pat Mahomes year two as a starter win the MVP, Lamar Jackson year two as a starter win the MVP, it's a natural June question to say, who's going to do it next? Out of anybody in the NFL, the number one choice of a second-year player to win the MVP is Kyler Murray. That part's very, very fair. Now, when you branch out and say simply, him winning the MVP, what's he done in his first two games? He's done nothing in the first two games to tamper down that part of the question.
Sure.
And if you think he is going to win the MVP, he's done nothing for you to lose enthusiasm. For me, however, it has to do with, is anybody seeing what Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers are doing? In order to win the MVP, you have to be better than everyone else. And right now, Kyler Murray is by far and away the best second-year player in the NFL, but he's not the best player.
Those two dudes had to kick the door down for us to believe in them, because one was drafted 10th, and when Patrick Mahomes was drafted 10th and sat out for a year, we was like, oh, we don't know if he should have won before Deshaun Watson. Who is this guy that they're drafting with all this talent but all of these issues? He kicked the door down. He earned his respect. Lamar Jackson, they had to move back into the first round to draft him. People didn't even think he should be playing quarterback. Should he be a wide receiver? He had to kick the door down. And I get it. We are ready to receive Kyler. We want Kyler to be these things. Patrick Peterson talks about him glowingly. DeAndre Hopkins talks about him glowingly. But those ain't top 10 stats. Those ain't really top 10 quarterback stats. Those are, you have a lot of talent. Arizona really sucks most of the time. You're 2-0, and you've played well. That ain't kick the door down stats. And it is not an indictment on Kyler Murray. I think he's going to be really good. And in the MVP conversation one day, this ain't the day.
Hey, Ryan Clark. All right. You got a point. As of late, it has been a little rough around here. There's no doubt about it.
I can't believe that's what you glom on.
I'm just saying, the Bruce Arians years, they weren't that bad. All right, that's all I'm saying. Just okay, right. There's been a dry patch. There's no doubt about it. Did you have to pile on with that right there?
I didn't put it into research of Doug, but Cliff Kingsbury's era has had more 400-yard offensive games than the Cardinals have had in the last 2 years before him.
Listen, yeah, again, I'm saying that a little tongue-in-cheek right now based on needs, but it's interesting. Kyler Murray, the reason why he's getting all this talk, it really isn't the production as much as how he's doing it. It's the how that has really got a lot of the attention of these talk shows going on, the analysts, of course, whether it's television or radio. It's the how he's doing it. It's the move on Landon Collins and the slow motion that they're tweeting. It's he's doing it in a way that reminds people of a much better Michael Vick. And again, I'm not attacking Michael Vick.
There's also an element of what is a lot of sports talk radio, sometimes this show included, so I'm not throwing everyone under the bus here. It is 80% see I was right, and 15% let's make fun of the guy that was wrong. And Kyler Murray fits into those two categories really, really well. How many people said this young man wouldn't be very good or is overrated or is too small? So you get to make fun of those people for right now for the way he's looking,
sure.
even though he's still got so much to prove. And for the people that stood up for Kyler Murray and said, make this move, that was kind of gutsy to stand up for a five-nine-and-a-half-inch quarterback that
no
barely
doubt.
Weighs 200 pounds.
No doubt.
So now you want to stand on the table and say, look, I stuck my neck out and I was right. And that happens, and I get it, because guess where else it happens? In scouting departments.
Yeah, you got that.
Right. It happens in the very room of the decision makers. So why shouldn't Sports Talk Radio do the same thing?
Listen,
it happens in bars between everybody that's listening right now.
This is all about Kyler Murray and how he's playing, how he's doing it, how he's posting these numbers. It's kind of like this. I'll leave you with this, Basin audience. Think of the way Jimi Hendrix played a guitar. Think of the way Stevie Ray Vaughan played a guitar. Are you kidding me? The soul. It was the how they played the guitar that got everyone's imagination. That's exactly what's happening with Kyler Murray.
Hmm.
It's how he's playing the quarterback position that has got the attention.
Coming up next, do the Detroit Lions have a chance of winning this game?
Hell no!
Well then,
stop it, Ryan.
What do they have to do to make sure Ryan Clark is right? Even though that wasn't the question. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Wolf Bear and Maloney are all in the Auction Community Studios. Paul and I on opposite ends of the earth, as I'm on the west side and Paul's on the east side. Good morning, it's Doug and Wolf. On 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Literally and figuratively.
Yes, there's a lot of truth to that. The Cardinals-Lions game is on Sunday, and as you can imagine, if the Cardinals listen to any of the hype, look out, okay? I think we're all smart enough to know anything can happen. Before the 1980 Olympics, the Russians beat the Rangers, okay? They beat the Rangers in an exhibition series against NHL teams, and they turned around and lost to the Americans in what was called the first game of the medal round, Wolf, not the gold medal game, if you're wondering. It's impossible. Oh, my gosh. I just saw the Bill Belichick press conference, and I forgot about it. The man has 12 holes in his sweatshirt.
Fantastic.
What
too.
He did his press conference, I forgot about that. And that means anything can happen. But there's a clear difference in the protocols of the game in which what are the Cardinals media asking? How do you stay get to 3-0? How do you beat an opponent that you're better than? How do you stay focused in the moment? While Matt Patricia is being asked questions about his job security and what's going wrong, and is there anything you need to change in your weekly preparations because you've had double-digit leads in back-to-back games this year and lost them both?
You know, I definitely always look at myself and what I have to do to prepare the team better and things that I can do, and there's certainly things in there that I like to change up. When we have weeks like this, whether it's in the team meetings, maybe it's individually in some of the position rooms, or, you know, in either of the three phases where from a meeting room standpoint, I might have a little bit of a different point of emphasis. I might put a little bit more pressure in the meeting rooms to understand the information ahead of time. And then obviously when we get out on the practice field, making sure that the level of urgency and the execution of the practice field is at the highest level. We got to go out and we got to work today and we got to get some things fixed. So that's what we're going to do.
Well, let's just say there is pressure and there is urgency when you end last season on a 9-game losing streak and you start this season with two brutal losses after you led Chicago 23-6 at the start of the fourth quarter and you lose after you start against the Packers up 14-3 and then you surrender 31 straight points. And you give up over 259 yards rushing, Matt Patricia. That's what you gave up.
As a defensive coach.
Against the Packers, 7.4 yards a carry. And now you've got a Lions team that hasn't won a game since October 27th against the Giants. And you're the first team to ever blow double-digit leads to lose four straight games.
Oh,
you were already on
doubles.
You were on double secret probation from the Ford family to start this season. So, yes, as we come full circle, there's pressure and urgency.
Oh, the urgency is super extra, Paul. We know that. It's super extra for Matt Patricia right now. And that's the thing about it. When you watch how they've gone about their business and how they've lost games and the fact that they are so pathetic in terms of stopping the run, this is something. Go back to Steve Wilks, and I love Steve Wilks. There's not a head coach the Arizona Cardinals have ever had, Basinonians, that I respect more than Steve Wilks. Absolutely. I want that to resonate, okay? Mm-hmm. But Steve Wilks, the number one knock against him was the fact that, you know what? Here he is, a defensive-minded coach, defensive coordinator, and think how bad the defense was. Mm-hmm. In terms of being able to stop the run in particular.
Okay, so think about this. If the Niners' defensive front is top five, if the Washington football team came in off an 8-sack game, you're going against a Lions defense that has 2 sacks in 2 games. They can't get to the quarterback. What does Kyler Murray do under those circumstances? I let that linger.
Yeah, Paul, they're dead last in the National Football League in yards per game allowed and yards per play allowed in terms of rushing. I mean, dead last, giving up over 200 yards a game and over 6.4 yards per carry on average. This is brutal.
The defensive coordinator of the Lions is Corey Unlin, and Paul just gave you the stat, first team in NFL history to lose 4 straight games in which they had double-digit leads. And he says about that,
we're 0-2, and we got to find a way. I think Reggie Ragland yesterday had a great quote and just said, hey, man, everything right now is from the neck up. We've got really good players on this team. I'm specifically obviously talking about the defense. I said it the first week. I'm going to say it last week. I say it right now. I have nothing but total belief in these guys. And we got to come back to work and go through, regardless of our record right now, and find a way to get through that.
When I hear somebody say, regardless of our record, and we're halfway through week 3 preparation, you're done. I mean, I'm sorry. You're done. That you've already gone to that point. And what else is he going to say?
Right. Speaking of half, you know what Green Bay did on the first play of the second half last week? 75-yard touchdown run by Aaron Jones. Mm. So the halftime adjustments didn't work. And you've got a team. And to Reggie Ragland, his quote to the media, well, remember, he won a Super Bowl with Kansas City last year. He said, quote, we can't unravel when things are not going our way. We got all the daggum pieces. I'm not used to it. Not going to lie, Reggie Ragland. Because after the Lions started getting down against the Packers, not only did they watch the Packers score 31 straight points, but after 75 yards on each of their first two possessions take that 14-3 lead, they had a total of 67 yards the next 6 series. So as the offense is watching the defense implode, you can't tell me the offense isn't affected mentally by watching that.
Yeah, this certainly the problems for the Detroit Lions. They go back to last year as well, 2019. You go back and look at it, but it's just carried over here to an extreme in 2020.
This is Kyler Murray. Compare and contrast last year to this year when he looks at the Detroit Lions, but more specifically looks in the mirror in talking about the Lions.
It was a tough day. It just felt ugly all day. I mean, obviously, I knew at some point, like, you know, we got to keep our head down and keep grinding, and it would, you know, eventually something would, you know, shake out for us, and it did. But all day, I mean, they were just, they played us well, and they hit, you know, a couple fortunate batted balls down and stuff like that. But it was an ugly day that turned out to be, you know, a decent inning. We didn't win, but you know, it was better than losing.
Well, we'll see if he picks up where he left off, because if you remember fourth quarter and overtime last year in that opener, he went 20 of 29 for 238, 2 touchdowns, no picks, and a passer rating of 117. So we'll see if Kyler's able to do that from the get-go. Against the Lions team, you're saying, by the way, hey, they've lost 11 straight games going back to last year. That's got to be – no, that's not an all-time, because from 2007 to 2009, they lost 19 in a row including that 0-16 season.
Oh, my goodness. What a brutality, Paul.
I think they used to be the Portsmouth Dragons, and they were good then. Portsmouth, Ohio. Look up how many people were there, and that was an NFL team.
Tommy Bowman.
Coming up next, the lowdown. One of our favorite people in the world, Lorenzo Alexander. And we'll ask him the question, if the Cardinals are 2-0, are they for real? Is this a playoff team? Yes, we're going to talk about it, Coach, next.
Playoffs?
On 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
23 years in the National Football League, and I can tell you this. There is nobody that I admire and respect more than Lorenzo Alexander.
He's one of those guys, he's like a lunch bell guy.
A blue-collar appeal to coming to work. He's going to outwork you every single play.
15-year NFL veteran Lorenzo Alexander joins Doug and Wolf to give us the lowdown on the Cardinals and the NFL.
I'm sure I'm going to get in trouble for this, Hibachi. Someone's going to say, Doug, don't go there. Why go there? But Lorenzo Alexander has a better intro to the Doug and Wolf show than Doug and Wolf do to the Doug and Wolf show. Do you realize
that? What's up, Zoe?
That's fantastic.
What's up? What's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
Well, always doing good, great buddy. When you're on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line with us. Good morning. Zoe, when I say, I don't even want to ask a question necessarily. It's just one of those, where do you go? When I say 2-0 Arizona Cardinals, it's the first thing that pops in your head.
Not surprised. Mm. You know, we had a conversation, you know, even before the season started. I was like, I think these guys have a chance to go to 5-0, maybe 4-1, because I wasn't quite sure about the Niners. And he was like, you set a different record, but I'm not going to put you out there. But I just thought that they have enough. You know, when you look at the teams that they're playing earlier on, you look at Adden Hopkins and that offensive power, I just really felt good about where they were going, talking to people. And then the only thing I was kind of unsure about was defensively how they were going to play. Mm-hmm. And I thought they're obviously better than what they were last year and are getting better from week one, from week two. So I definitely think they're on pace, you know, to go 5-0 in my mind, even though it's always hard. It's hard to win five straight games in this league, no matter how good you are. But, yeah, I mean – I would say they are on track to be a playoff team, right? You know, and you hear all the good things they're supposed to be saying. We haven't
playoffs.
Done that yet. But they're definitely starting to go. They're headed in the right direction as of these first 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to continue on that path, obviously continue to get better, because when you watch the game film, there are areas on offense and defense where they can continue to improve. And they're going to need to do that, especially over these next 3 weeks, before they get to a team like a Dallas that's, you know, high-powered and probably better than these other teams that they've played before outside of the 49ers.
You know, to me, Zoe, on the emotional preparedness for a game, it was easy to get up against the 49ers, right?
I mean, right, yeah.
You're on the road. It's the defending champions of the NFC, the San Francisco 49ers, in their stadium. That's going to get your attention. The fact they came back and followed it up and took care of business the way they did against Washington at home, two different ends of the spectrum emotionally right there. That tells me there might be a little maturity brewing in that locker room. What are your thoughts on that, though?
Yeah, most definitely, but they can't continue to come out and start slow either. I mean, you had that one of those, you know, early in the game again where Kyler threw interception, which we now know, you know, a wrong route was ran, and it allowed Collins to kind of be in that area to pick the ball off. But then we had to get Jordan Phillips a strip sack down the red zone, and then had to come back and get another big-time special teams play and get another strip sack or a strip to create another turnover. Then they started getting rolling again. And so I just think they need to start faster, you know, try to find ways where they can get out the gate faster and not have to rely on some of these turnovers, which is great. You're creating them. But I know you're not going to always get a special teams turnover every single week. And if they do, kudos to them.
Yeah,
if they could do that, kudos to them. That'd be awesome. It'd be obviously something that we've never seen before. But just getting started faster so you don't have to rely on those. Those turnovers are actually allowing you to then dominate teams, especially when you start playing better teams. And I guess that's what I'm talking about. When you're playing these teams that are kind of average, you can get away with that type of stuff.
Lorenzo Alexander spent 15 years in the NFL. He spent 2 years with the Arizona Cardinals. That's where we got to know him. And now he's a resident. We love talking ball with him, and we do it every Thursday at 6:45. Let me go a little more wide open on the team itself. If you gave me the number one reason why are they 2-0?
I mean, it's Kyler.
Other than Bob Knight, you know, they scored more points than the other team.
it's Kyler, and he just makes people around him better. You know, the offensive line is better, but he makes them even better than what I think they are. Kind of where they're at right now. He gives them time to continue to grow and get better. I mean, because he's running around, throwing things off schedule. I mean, he had two rushing touchdowns, should have had three. One was on a penalty and they brought back. But he just creates so many issues. And you've heard every defensive coordinator, when you bring his name up, the first word that people come to mind is anxiety. And the coaches aren't the only ones feeling that, because the players are feeling that too, because the coaches are telling them, you got to keep him in the pocket. You can't let him do this. You can't let him do that. And then he comes out and does it to you. You just feel so demoralized. So he is the reason why his growth, himself overcoming adversity, you know, whether he has thrown these interceptions and still coming back and still playing well. And they're just doing a great job, you know, spreading the ball around. Obviously, Hopkins, what he's able to allow them to do as well is really good. But Kyler, he's the engine that makes it all go.
You know what's so weird, just in my observations, though, watching this right now, the Arizona Cardinals are not a run-you-over team, right? They're not a run-you-over team. They're more of a run-by-you team.
Right.
I don't know if I've ever seen that. Have you ever seen anything like that when it comes to running the football?
Yeah, I mean, when you think about – like a Kyle Shanahan. I mean, they don't run, not Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan. You know, zones, trying to get you out of your gaps, you know, stretch zone, outside zone, cut the ball back. So there are teams that do it when they don't feel like they can just, you know, power you off the ball. You know, they try to get you out of your gaps. They use, you know, some cutback schemes. They use what we call relay tight ends, where the tight end goes behind the line or receivers come motion across, which we call like a ghost motion or a zoom motion, just to kind of get you confused, get you out of your gaps, and then they trying to hit the edges and get outside.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Lorenzo Alexander, we do it every single Thursday. Love for you to be a part of it. You can even tweet us a question or two that you have for Zoe, and we'll get to that as well. What's next? When you answer the question about Kyler, well, now what's next? What's still in there that you say, okay, and I don't mean in year three, year four, year five. I mean week three, week four, week five. So we're not talking about giant leaps here, but the next step to get better this week.
I think something that he can probably improve on is when he initially, and there's a couple of times it happened in the game, and I heard Wolf earlier say he played good, but he left some things out here, and these are one of the things I think he left out there. When he decides to take off, think more like a Russell Wilson in those first maybe two or three steps, especially, and obviously it's a field thing, but I think he has more time than what he thinks sometimes. And it was one play that I think he might have got 4 or 5 yards, but Arnold came open after like his first 1-2 step, and he was still behind the line of scrimmage. If he had his eyes down the field, he could have hit Arnold for like a 10-yard gain, and it would have been a much easier pass. And Arnold was in his sight line, so it's not like Arnold was way off to the right, off to the left. He was still kind of in his vision
pattern. I know the play you're talking about.
Yeah, and then there was one other one, and it might have been Arnold again, where he was scrambling, and he just missed him. But he was thinking about running first. And so sometimes when he take his initial takeoff, it's like, okay, I'm going down and I'm going. If he can get a little bit more accurate when he's first taking off, and then also having his eyes still down the field, because I think there's some plays out there. Because now, as soon as he takes off, he could be 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Guys are coming down to try to get him. So guys are going to come open. And that's what Russell does really, really well, because people have to respect that. They're going to come out of coverage even though they're not supposed to. And he can find guys, instead of him running for 20 and maybe taking a hit, he can hit a guy for 15 and let him get the other yards. And it's a more efficient play. You know, he's not tired. He doesn't have to get a chance of getting hit even though he doesn't get hit. And it just works a lot more better, and it's a lot more fluid.
Talking to Lorenzo Alexander, joins us every Thursday, and we always have one beautiful part of the program where we focus on all Cardinals. Coming up next, kind of shifted a little bit of Cardinals and a little bit of NFL. Does Lorenzo Alexander have any stories about a teammate that's getting ready to start, and at the coin flip, he no longer can start? What happened in L.A.? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.